Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Well, we are so glad that you're joining us today for the Kanakuk Podcast. We think we have an episode for you today that you will greatly enjoy and be such an encouragement to you. I am Rachel Sparks, here with my co-host, Coach Joe White, who I think, do little kids actually say this? They say coach, the coach with robot legs?
That's so funny. Yeah, you know, adults look at my weird legs. I've got these, they call them prosthetics, but they're just graphite, you know, legs. And I love them, by the way. I enjoy being a prosthetic guy. It's really cool because I can be 5'1 or 5'10. That's I can right. choose if I want to be that short or taller.
Yeah.
Whatever I want.
No one else can do that.
Yeah, and I can weigh 170 if I want to, or 190.
Yeah.
Either one.
I wish I could pick like that.
I know, 20 pounds, just like
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So little kids, they stare at my legs. They stare at me, and they're so cute. And they're like, dude, you got robot legs. And I'm like, I start laughing. I go, yeah, I'm a transformer. So, yeah, I'm the man with robot legs. Mark Cook, oh, my goodness. Mark is a dear friend, and he is a Kanakuk dad, and he leads a exploding company, just becoming a monstrous company. And I've eaten lunch with his employees, Rachel, and they're the happiest people. The people that work for Mark are so happy. And he's got 390 employees.
Wow.
And they love Mark, and they love what they do, and they love each other. It's a fabulous company. And so Mark, I can't wait for you to be on the show today.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Mark, we're so glad to have you. I, too, cannot wait to hear a little bit about your story. Tell us about you. I know that you're a dad. Tell us about your family and a little bit about what you do for work.
Yeah, so I am a dad and a husband. Got married to my wife in 1980. And I work at CSI, Central States Industrial. And so I have three kids at home, but they're all obviously gone, but they're now working. All of the kids are working in CSI. And so we live in Springfield, Missouri. All the kids are close by. We're close to camp, so it's easy to get our grandkids to camp. So that's fun for us. And my biggest hobby is my work.
Okay, I love that. Now, obviously, Kanakuk has been part of your story. Tell us about how you heard about camp, and then if your kids have been campers, or kind of what role camp has played in your life.
Sure. You know, Joe, I don't remember exactly how we learned about camp, but this would have been 92 or 93. And we learned about it, and we were told, yeah, this is a great opportunity. So we took our oldest, got her enrolled in K-West, and went to camp. That's a 13-day camp. And we took her down there and dropped her off, and we came back and picked her up. And I always remember that she, when we met her on the Parents' Day and we first started talking to her, she was talking about how much fun she had, and she said, and we had to brush our teeth, and we had to take a shower, we had to make our bed, we had to read our Bible, we had to take this thing called FOB, and we had to, and she went through all these things that they had to do, followed by, I want to come back next year. And it always reminded me how much kids love structure and limits, guidelines. She was so happy, and she'd been in that environment for 2 weeks. And so we fell in love with camp. We fell in love with camp, and then somehow I got to know this crazy guy, Joe White, and we got to go on some trips together, and I don't even know how that came about, Joe. Do you remember that?
Mark, I have no idea. I know we were doing events all over the country, and I think you were kind enough to loan us your airplane to fly to these crusades we were doing on college campuses. I believe that was our best introduction.
Well, that was one of them, and that was in about 92. And by the way, Rachel, I learned a thing recently. that I knew, but you don't really know it conceptually, things that you know intellectually, until it happens to you, right? And the point is, don't ever get in a storytelling contest with Joe White. But my favorite Joe White story is we were going to Houston, and somehow he and I collaborated. He knew we were going to go down there, so we dropped him off at Hobby Airport, and I also had some CSI people on that trip. And we got out of the airplane. We had a rental car, and we just put all the luggage in the rental car. Off we went. And Joe was doing some recruiting, I believe. And then it was really before cell phones. And then I learned that I had Joe's luggage. I had all of his clothes. And he had to go to Kmart, because there was Kmart at the time. And he had to get clothes for the rest of his trip.
That's so funny. I forgot. Mark, your kids, they came back to camp year after year after year. What kept your kids coming back to camp every
summer? That's right. They loved camp. They loved camp. They loved the activities. They loved the structure. They loved the word constantly being talked about. They loved the fun. And they loved the new friends that they made. You know, and they would meet people from different parts of the country. So all those things. And one of the things, they loved the food. They loved the cheers. They loved the water, and they loved the counselors. They loved the counselors. They loved how these college students, most of whom were athletic, loved on them. Yeah, all those things, I believe they loved, Joe.
Mark, I know, you know, you and your wife are humble people, but you have great kids. And not only were they great kids growing up, but now they're wonderful parents, and they're raising wonderful kids of their own. Can you talk a little bit about your family values and how you raise kids who love the Lord?
We did the best we could. We read the Bible. We made sure our kids were in church, even though we know that none of these things by themselves are panacea. None of them are a magic bullet. We prayed. We tried to demonstrate what being a Christian looked like. And their grandparents had a lot to do that with that. Their grandparents had great influence. So I'm grateful for that. And so then we would do things like make sure they got to go to camp and make sure that they were hanging out with the kind of kids that we wanted them to hang out with. And we just did the best we could, Joe. And I think the demonstration or the modeling, if you will, is so important. And we are far from perfect. The dad in this family is way far from perfect. The mom, my wife studied all about kids all the time. And so she knew how to nurture them. And she tried to teach me. And so now, you know, Emily has four kids. Jordan has a child. Carmen does not. And all those kids love going to camp.
Wow. Wow. It's so good to hear your story. I hear such a rich heritage, a godly heritage, starting with grandparents and then in you guys. And then now, how incredible must that be to watch your kids raise their kids in that same godly heritage. And I love that you are so humble and honest to say, we didn't know everything. We didn't do everything perfect, but you modeled as best as you could to show them Christ and then put incredible influences into their lives to get to continue to push them into that direction. And gosh, what a heartbeat and a prayer as parents that we're not going to do it perfect, but we're going to keep trying to push them to the Lord as much as we can.
And Rachel, you know, Mark went through it pretty quickly, but I hope we all as parents heard, and as grandparents, by the way, heard him say, you know, the ingredients. He made sure prayer was in the home consistently. He made sure the Bible was being read in the home consistently.
Yeah.
He made sure that he and his wife, as best they could, were role modeling for the kids consistently. And then he said, we made sure we were in church together on Sunday consistently. Those ingredients work, don't they, Rachel? Mm-hmm.
They do. They do.
I see it in your family. You and Colin do a great job with those ingredients.
Please, Lord. Just trying, like you said, not... We don't have it all figured out, and we don't do it all perfect, but man, we want to point our kids to Jesus in everything we do. And it's even okay in those times with your kids to say, hey, I don't know everything, or, hey, please forgive me, I blew that, or whatever it is. But in the midst of it, I love that Paul said, just follow me as I follow Jesus. And that's the best thing that we can do for our kids.
Great reminder. Mark, just to pivot for a second, when I get to meet your employees, as I did the other day, just they're so happy in your company. And I was reminded that your company had grown to the point where you have 390 employees. And and they seem like they're happy. They seem like they love what they're doing. They seem like they love to come to work. Anybody who has a family or any size company knows that when it gets, the more people, the more complications. How do you build such an amazing company where people love the work, love their boss, and they love each other and the work they're doing?
Thank you, Joe. I'm going to say some things here that I know are real, and I just want to make sure none of it sounds like it's about me. When my mom and dad moved to Springfield in 1984, there were four people in CSI, my mom, my dad, and two other people. So that's 1984, and we'll be 400 here in a few days. And so when you think about that, you think about what causes that. One of the things that I tell them is, yeah, there's a need for investment and vision and leadership and strategy, but that's not it. Those things don't make it. What makes it is the contribution of individuals. Individuals who will come to work, do what they're expected to do, finish jobs, and take care of each other, take care of customers. My dad had all the great ideas, and then the other people that work here have had the rest of the good ideas. I had one, and that is to say a thing called take care of each other and take care of customers. And it's in that order for a reason. I have people around the country and even around the world ask us about our business. They'll ask me about our business. And if they know me well enough, they'll really try to find out what is it? And one of the things that I tell them is if you can get them to love each other, it's magic. It works because they'll take care of each other. They'll care about each other and the rest will get done. And so we have to model that. We have to model respect and we have to model love. One of the lessons that I had to learn, Joe, kind of a hard way, I was brought up, you know, to understand and to be told. And so I understood intellectually that you need to respect people no matter who they are, no matter what their situation or the characteristics are, you need to respect people. At some point about 30 years ago, I realized that I needed to learn to also make sure I respected their work. The leader needs to respect the work of all the folks. And I was thinking about that today, and I thought, you know, you ask about my wife. By the way, my wife's name is Julie. One of the things I realized is that in the moments where we did our best work, I respected her work. And in the moments where I was messing up, I didn't. And I just hit that. Just today, I realized that parallel between respecting people and respecting the work that they're doing. And if I do that with my wife, she'll do it with me. And if I respect what she's doing, our kids will see that. They will see what it's supposed to look like. So that's fascinating to me, Joe. And so then I think I have to find people that are smarter than me. And I've been blessed. The Lord has sent them here. He has sent a ton of them that are smarter than me. They're better than me at their things. And so I have to be able to embrace that. I have to be able to go, isn't that cool? From the bottom of my heart, not just in words. And I do, so I love it. And so I think about then some things that we've had to do as we've grown and started getting into these bigger numbers. Like once you get beyond 100, there are new challenges. And they're not just technical and legal and HR. They're cultural. And we took on some training to learn some specific things. We learned about an assessment called DISC. You might be familiar with that. And then we learned some specific communication methods to use with each other, with suppliers, with customers, and that has helped us a lot.
Mark, I'm just tagging on what you're saying. As a dad, as a granddad, as a husband, my kids will tell you I failed so many times. My wife will tell you I failed so many times. But I want my kids, I want my bride, and I want every dad that I talk to have his kids be able to say, my dad is my biggest fan. I want every husband out there, you know, as I encounter men, for their wives to say, my husband is my biggest fan. And I want the precious people I get to work with here in K-Land. You know, I love our mechanics. I love our carpenters. I love the guys who mow the grass. You know, and I love the folks who work the computers and all that stuff. But, man alive, I want to, as my friend Jack Hershen says, people need a whole lot more clapping and a whole lot less criticism. And man, I'm with you. You know, if I'm not the biggest fan of the guy who's cutting the grass out there and telling him what a beautiful, gorgeous job he's doing with that Bermuda grass out there,
yeah,
then this company is not worth 10 cents on a dollar.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I mentioned the same thing when I'm doing orientation. I talk about the value of every role, the value of every person's job. And I mentioned the folks cutting the grass, the folks sweeping the floor, the folks answering the phone, the folks packing a box, the folks polishing a part, you name it. If any of those start not happening, any of them, things start falling apart.
Well, you know, I see that, Mark, in your family. I see it in your grandkids. I see it in your company. But, Mark, you do something really something really stunning to me. But you give your employees an invitation to send their kids to this camp, and you pay their way. Can you talk a little bit about that little Christmas yeah. gift you give your employees?
Yeah, so, and it's what's interesting, Joe, is I think back to when I started that, I was like, I want to do this. So I went down to Sarah's office. Sarah was the CFO, and I go, you think we could do this? She said, well, remember, you're the boss. You can do it. I'm like, okay, so what about financially? She said, yeah, we can do it. So that was a long time ago, so I said, okay. If a parent will pay the registration, which was $200 at the time, we'll do 1 week. We'll pay for 1 week. And that has grown and it's developed. And it's something I love doing it. I love when parents tell me, and I have now kids. I have employees' kids that have done 8 years of camp, and CSI has paid for it every year. Now we've been blessed financially, and we do whatever it is, 7 days, 13 days, 28 days, doesn't matter. We do the whole thing. So last year, or this summer that we're just finishing, we sent 34 kids to camp for 68 weeks.
Wow.
So it's fun. And so I have these kids who think they know me, and their parents will bring them in, and they'll come down to my office and say, Mr. Cook, and they'll make thank you cards. Mr. Cook, thank you for sending us to camp.
Wow.
Mark, what has that done for your company?
Well, it's hard to know, Joe, right? I think it's been big, and I know it's been good. You know, to exactly quantify it, like some of us T-Styles want to do, it's hard to do. But I just think when you see the smiles in these kids' faces, Joe, do you remember the name Dr. Arthur Mallory?
No, sir.
Dr. Mallory was the youngest ever president of SMS, Southwest Missouri State University, which is now Missouri State. He was the youngest ever university president in the state of Missouri. Then he moved to Jefferson City, and he became the commissioner of elementary and secondary education. Never had any political aspirations. He just wanted to be a great school teacher. He came from a school teacher family. His daddy was a superintendent at Buffalo, Missouri for years. I'll never forget Dr. Mallory, because I went to church. I went in the same church that he did for several years. I remember him saying, if you want to do something nice for somebody, do something nice for their kids. And I probably heard him say that, oh gosh, 35 years ago. I'll never forget it.
It's so true. It's one thing to love a person, but when you love, I can say this as a mom, when you love my kids, when you love their kids, there's nothing greater. I think as I sit here and get to listen to you, this word heritage just keeps coming back. And how encouraging and amazing to see how you have stewarded what the Lord has given you, not just in your family, but now have created this family within a company. And it's obvious and it's clear that this work is so much more than what you're just doing with CSI, and that you've built this family atmosphere and are now investing in even the families of the people that work at your company. And I can just imagine the ripples from that are unending as they keep going out. And I just keep thinking this word heritage again and again, of this godly heritage that you built with your family and in this company. And that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, he has blessed, and he continues to bless just in unbelievable ways,
And so, Rachel, you know, one of the things that we'd love to encourage the listeners to this podcast is Christ called everybody to be a leader, every child in their peer group to be a leader, every teenager to be a leader, and, of course, every man and woman that are grown. He asked us to go out and lead for Christ. And we're always searching for the secret juice of leadership. And, you know, when I'm around Mark and I see his company, I see his family, his grandkids, I see a secret formula for great leadership. And Mark will never admit it because he's such a humble guy. But what you see is a leader who cares deeply. Mm-hmm. It's just in his blood. He cares deeply. For every employee in the company, everybody, he cares deeply for his children and for his grandchildren. He cares deeply for his wife. And I know everybody out there who's leading in any way that's listening to us today, we're all looking for a boost in our ability to be a better leader as a wife, as a husband, as a mom, as a dad, as a corporate leader, as a pastor. It ain't rocket science, folks. It's just Jesus' love exuding from our hearts for every person we meet to show them the care, the deep respect and care of the love of Christ. Mark, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of that today. It's apparent in your life, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Mark, what a joy to get to meet you and hear just a little bit of your story. I would love to pray us out today, pray for your family and for CSI. And again, just want to thank you for being here. Lord Jesus, what a blessing to get to again be reminded of your truth, and that we had the greatest example in Jesus of what it looks like to lead. Lord, thank you that you cared so deeply that you chose to come down and to walk with us and to feel what we feel and to experience everything that we experience, Lord, so that we don't go through anything alone. We know that you know best, even more than us, of what it looks like to suffer or what it looks like to feel deeply, Lord. And thank you that you lived that so well to give us the example of what it looks like to deeply love others. Thank you that you were the greatest leader, and that through your power, Lord, you show us and give us the strength of what it can be to be a leader in this world that desperately needs leaders. So Lord, I pray for Mark. I pray for his family, that you would continue to bless them and to draw their hearts near to you. And Lord, for his company, that it would continue to prosper so that it can uplift the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would bless him, give him wisdom, Lord Jesus, to lead this company well. And Lord, please give us wisdom to lead our families and our companies and all the circles that we're involved in, to lead those well too. Thank you, Lord, for the example that you are. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit canacuckpodcast.com. And for more information about Canacuck, you can visit canacuck.com.